You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 167 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and Ride TV. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse, brought to you in cooperation with Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
On today's show, we get into the good stuff of dressage training and starting thoroughbreds for the sport with Catherine Abrams. Then we chat with New Vocations' Bridget Heasley for a new training tip and very cool adoptable horse of the week. Stay tuned.
And they're off on Retired Racehorse Radio, the podcast that is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse.
This is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York.
And this is Lee Beamer in Whitfield, Virginia, and you're listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Lee, it is a new year, but it is kind of a sad way to kick it off because this is your last episode.
I know.
And I'm kind of sad about it.
Me too.
Greatly looking forward to having Joy back because we've missed her dearly, but I wish we could get all three of us going because that wouldn't be chaotic at all.
No, not at all. I think three is a good idea. But in all seriousness, it has been really wonderful to be able to step in and help Joy out as she raises those little babies. So I'm very thankful for y'all letting me come on and excited that Joy gets to come back and be with you.
No, it's been a good switch up, I think, for the show. It's always good, you know, just to have new perspectives come on too. But like, because you're in that active competing role with Finn, you know, where I'm like, I'm not doing anything with Jobber. It's fine. You know, I'm like, Joy's got other priorities. So like, we're not always the most compelling hosts for this show. So it's really nice to have you come on and be like, well, this is what I'm working on in my lessons. And here are my goals. And here's what's going on. Like, yeah, you're moving and shaking. And, you know, I'm happy to release you back out into the wild for 2026 so you can work on all those goals. But we definitely want to, you know, stay in touch and see how your year's shaping up, because I know you and Finn are going places. So,
well, absolutely. Well, you know where to find me. We got some big, hopefully, goals for 2026. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I know. I was like super wishy-washy in the last episode about my New Year's resolutions, but you know, like, I know you've got stuff you want to do.
Have you remind us again about yours? Oh, well, I would love to finish up our bronze scores this year. I'd like to have it finished before I'm done being 30 years old. So that gives me till the end of the competition year. So we'll see. That's the big one. I'd also like to do a freestyle because we got our score to do one at the last show of the year. So potentially a Dolly Parton themed freestyle coming your way. Stay tuned.
Oh, heck yeah.
That seems very Finn. Definitely would like to throw Jolene in there because I think that's her as a person.
Wait, is she Jolene or is she the other woman?
Well, she's definitely Jolene, the one trying to steal the man. Right? And talk about her locks of auburn hair.
Well, okay, yeah, that's true. Valid.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know what the singer looks like. They could both have auburn hair.
That
seems
true.
Unlikely, but
I just assume it's Dolly Parton, which I think Finn could also be. So it could go either way, but she's definitely trying to steal somebody's man.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. That is Finn, through and through.
Wait, okay, so hang on. You want to do this before you are no longer 30?
Right, yes.
How are you so wise, though? You make me feel very old. I'm 37, and I'm like, what? Like, I'm done with dreams. I'm done with resolutions and goals. I'm jaded at 37. So. Yeah.
I don't know. Just an old soul, I suppose.
That must be it.
Yeah, must be. It's these Appalachian roots, I guess.
Yeah. What was the phrase you used when I was like, yo, I want you to be our temporary co-host? I forgot the phrase you used, but it made me laugh. Something about your hillbilly voice. And I was like, no, you have a lovely voice.
Oh, yeah.
But you said it in such a funny way.
Oh, yes. My hick voice probably is what I call it.
I like it.
On the fancy radio. Well, thank you.
Ma, I'm on the radio show. Oh my God.
That's okay. Right.
Made it. Oh, big. Dear. Yeah. Have I thought more about my resolutions? Yeah. I really haven't. No. I mean, we're just going to keep kind of slowly working on the new house, work towards hopefully selling the old house, and then we can buy the farm part and sort of start working on that. But, you know, because so much of that is like up in the air, you know, and like contingent on other things happening, like in a certain order. Yeah. It's hard to plan too much. So, you know, just kind of like settle into the new pace of life in a new house and a new location and, you know, try to enjoy it while we have it. And then, yeah, enjoy my horses while we have them because they all just seem to be getting older. So,
isn't that the kicker?
I know. Jobber's going to be 17. Jobber's 17 this year, which is crazy. I'm like, you're crazy. Like kind of old.
Yeah. My first OTTV that I got when I was a sophomore in high school, he turned 17 this past May. And that made me feel really old because he was like, what, 3 when I got him?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
He's like around Jobber's age, I guess, a year apart. So, and I guess my other one is also going to turn 17 this coming year, which would be Jobber's age. So, yeah, it's crazy how fast time goes.
It is funny though, because I was like, I really can't picture this horse getting old. And I feel like karmically that phrase came back to bite me. Cause I'm like, well, okay, with the lymphoma, he might not actually make it to be old. You know,
17's old.
17's pretty good. The lymphoma had like a rough, like 2 to 5 year kind of timeline on it. And I think I got to look back at my records. I think we're in year 4.
Okay.
Since it like first kind of popped onto the scene. So like, we're having a good run, you know, just kind of taking it a week at a time, but it hasn't slowed him down at all, which is like great. But also I'm like, could you like a little?
That seems like, on brand for him though.
It's very on brand. I mean, and the thing is like, I do think he's getting some arthritis in other places and I can't do a whole lot to support the arthritis while he's still on the steroid to support the lymphoma. So it's like a little bit of like a, you know, we'll pick our battles. I just am letting him kind of choose the pace he wants to move at. But in the winter, the pace is just straight up in the air, which is
that's
not
a fun
great.
Pace.
It's like, it's just hard because you can't like, I can't go out and lunge him because there's nowhere to lunge because everything's either ice or snow.
You got and a saddle horn though.
Yeah, but I am old and fearful now. So
yeah, I understand. It's
hard like the other night. Yeah, even the other night I was like, oh, I'll just go for a little hand walk, you know, like get some new perspective. You can like look at the trucks across the street because he's always been into trucks for some reason because he's actually like a toddler. I don't know. You know, and he was like enjoying looking at the trucks. And then he was like, I'm going to blow on your face. Look how cute I am. And then he bit me in the chin. So, you know, like it's just.
Yeah.
Always, I was like, thanks, you dragon. I was too slow to like try to nip him back. But then I was like, then we're going to get into a game of like face tag, which I don't want to do because I am, in fact, not a horse.
Right.
So that was great. But it's like, oh my God. Funny. So that's going fine. Shorty's gotten a bunch of body work and is like in good physical shape. So, and we've been doing crunches with him every day to make his top line stronger. So he actually... We've been doing that for so long. When my vet walked in, she's like, oh, I had to do a double take because I didn't know that that was Shorty, like at a glance. She's like, normally he's like way dippier looking in the back. Because we've not done the greatest job kind of maintaining him. But the crunches he hates because he just does not think he should have to do anything in his life. But they are actually helping. So
what's your process for that? How do you get him to?
You just kind of tickle his belly until he's like, ooh, and picks the belly up. But now I just have to watch him because he's like, I know what you're going to do and I don't like it.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't like to get tickled.
I've tried that with Finn and she gets real mad.
Yeah. So does Jobber. And it's just like, okay, listen, it's for your own good.
It must be.
And I know there's. Thing. Yeah. Oh, I think it is. I genuinely believe that the stereotypes that redheads are more sensitive as far as horses go.
1,000%.
Yeah. Like Jobber in the winter is like, don't touch me. Also, don't look at me. Like,
don't
just
look
don't...
at me the wrong way. Yeah.
Right. He's like, I don't want to be perceived, but I also want to touch you. And I'm like, you got to pick one. You can't do it all.
Can't be both ways.
Yeah. And then, you know, like Wes is Wes. He's just bouncing along doing his
thing.
Happy
to be there.
Yeah. I should try to ride him. I usually ride him in the snow, but he is every year he gains more confidence and power. So this will probably be the year that he manages to buck me off in the snow.
Well, at least it's a soft landing, right?
This is true. I don't know where he'll go after that, but we'll have a good time.
Can't be far.
30 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll just go right back to the barn and be like, that was great.
Well, please post that when you do.
I really should. We've talked about this before. We need to get like an RRR GoPro and just share it
amongst
people. You know, like we'll You take it for a while. I'll take it for a while. We'll give it to Joy for a while. We'll give it to some other friends for a while. Yeah.
That'd be fun. We'd have a
good time.
The people would love it. Yeah.
I'll have to do it when we're moving cattle, but then I'll have to censor out all of our swearing.
Right. I'll have to be muted for sure.
Yeah.
I understand.
So yeah, like, I have like little goals like for the craft business, and I would really like to finish this book I've been working on for like a year and a half.
Yeah. I'm excited by the book.
Yeah. A lot of people are excited by the book. Thank you. We'll see if it's worth all the hype if I ever get it finished. So I need to hang out with the girls over at Adulting with Horses, because those girls can put some books out and I'm very slow by comparison. So I need to go hang out at their show and see if we get some of that to rub off on me.
I think it's such an impressive thing to even be able to start doing, you know, because I read a lot, but then I'm like, how do people come up with all these ideas and keep them straight?
You just wait until there's one lodged in your head long enough and you're like, I gotta write this.
Yeah.
Like, you'll get one that just lingers and then you're like, okay, this is the one. And then sometimes too, like, cause I was like, oh, you know, like I'm not going to be one of those ones who's like, oh, I had an idea for a second one, but I was like, oh God, I already had an idea for a different book. So
Ooh.
If I ever finish this one, then I can crank right out into book two. They're not horse books, but horses feature prominently in them.
Okay.
So, everyone has that to look forward to should it ever get to a point of publication. So.
When it gets to a point of publication.
Thank you for your positive thinking. I like that.
Absolutely. Got to put it out there in the world.
Well, Lee, it's been a delight to have you on for a couple months. I will miss you dearly, but I know that you are only ever a text message or a phone call away to bring you back.
That's right.
Hang out.
Yeah. I'll be around anytime.
Love it. All right. Well, we have a great episode lined up to kick off the new year. But first, we're going to hear from our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products.
Does your performance horse have sore, stiff muscles? Does he lack energy or tire quickly during exercise? Does his competition schedule require travel? Studies show that horses in regular training and those with limited access to pasture often require additional vitamin E. They also show that horses being trailered, even short distances, can face immunity challenges. Elevate Natural Vitamin E can help. A research-proven, powerful antioxidant, Elevate maintains healthy muscle, nerve, and immune functions. It does this by delivering a highly bioavailable source of natural vitamin E that is preferentially absorbed and retained in a horse's tissues. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974. And I will say that during Finn's sport horse exam this year, the vets recommended she start on Elevate Vitamin E to help her sore muscles, and it has made a world of difference. So Finn and I highly recommend. Well, I'm very excited that today we are talking to Catherine Abrams, who has been my trainer, goodness, for several years, I think almost five going on 6 years. She's a very accomplished dressage rider, trainer, instructor. She has so many titles. She's earned the U.S. Dressage Finals FEI Intermediate Freestyle Championship. She has her USDF bronze and silver medals and freestyle bars. And she's a Pony Club A certified graduate. But on top of that, she's also developed several horses to the FEI levels. And she's a really sought after instructor and just a great human being. So I'm excited that we get to talk with her this evening about her experiences with thoroughbreds. So welcome, Catherine. We're happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for that amazing introduction.
Oh, of course. Very nice. Yeah.
I'm very intimidated now. So yeah, thank you for rattling off all of Catherine's titles.
I have the way you put that, Lee, it sounded really great.
Well, it is all true information, all facts. So yeah, like I've known you for a while, Catherine, and you've known Finn since day one. And
yeah.
Recently, there was a clinic at your farm with JJ Tate, and there were so many thoroughbreds on the roster of students that were participating. And you're also kind of known for your success with untraditional dressage breeds. So I thought you'd be a great person to talk to. And one thing that, you know, thoroughbreds come off the track kind of, you know, they've been used to running, they've been going fast and stretched out. And so what like would be the first thing that you would approach when you get a thoroughbred in there about like rebuilding their balance and posture and really their relaxation after a racing career, because it's such a different direction than what they've been used to?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that with the thoroughbreds, I really treat them as if they haven't had like a career before that, but I keep in mind, you know, what they've been doing. And like with all horses, I usually start with groundwork. So I find it is really helpful to teach them how to be okay with relaxing and taking pressure in a quiet way and changing their posture on the ground before I even get into the riding. So I always start there. Mm-hmm. I also like to teach them to lunge so that we can have like verbal communication too. I find voice commands are really helpful. So as we change the set of aids over, they don't feel quite so confused if I can use my voice to bridge the gap for them. And yeah. I think that for me as a dressage trainer, the relaxation is really the first most important thing to achieve. And I find a lot of thoroughbreds struggle like with standing still and being patient. And so again, I often use the groundwork to start there so that right away they don't feel like trapped by the much slower pace of the dressage training. And then I just take it really slowly because they're, you know, on their own clocks because they're horses. So they get to dictate the pace of the training.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Yeah. No thoroughbred wants to be told like, we have 100 days. Like, here we go.
Oh my gosh. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Right. We might be on a clock that we know about, but we don't tell them.
Right. Yeah. Don't let them know. Yeah. I like that you mentioned lunging as like a piece of groundwork, because I think lunging gets such a bad rep all the time of like, oh, you just make them go in a bunch of tiny circles. It's so bad for their hocks.
You're trying to wear them out. Right?
And it's, yeah. And like, yes, if it's used to excess, like anything else, it can be a bad tool. But I, you know, I like that you focused on using it to teach other aids.
Yeah, more about that.
Yeah,
totally agree. I think that, of course, like anything in excess isn't good for them. And I also find with thoroughbreds, like the notion that you're going to lunge them to calm them down is just like not.
That's a fool's errand. Yeah,
yeah, you can't, it's so useless. Like you're not going to outlast the thoroughbred. So, I never use it for that purpose with any horse, really. But I find it's a really important place to establish communication for me. And then the other thing is I can start to help them understand their posture, because when they relax and they reach their neck down and they start swinging a little bit, a verbal reward allows me to mark that behavior. So I can establish communication on a lot of levels. And also, especially with those horses, when they go slowly, I reward it. So, you know, the lunging isn't too physically challenging because it's a lot of walking and trotting and not, you know, just cantering them around and around.
Yes. And you did teach Finn to lunge, which is a big game changer for our lunge.
Did I do that? Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
Yes, because that's one thing I hate is trying to get a third.
That was at your place. Is that right?
I think so. Yes,
yeah.
Did it go
totally
well?
I forgot about that.
Like, did you forget because it went really well, or did you forget because it was horrible?
I think I forgot because it definitely wasn't that. I don't think anything with Finn has ever been that horrible, like, with me around.
Finn's so good.
Fair.
Well, you know, I hear she, like, breaks a few all. I mean, she pulled the bolts out of Lee's trailer the other day. But
that's true.
Yep. She's pretty great. So, no, I think it was pretty easy. I just find when you lunge them, like if they haven't lunged before, you know, it's like any horse learning to lunge. Like I just treat them like they're a 2-year-old that I'm teaching, you know, in the beginning of its dressage training to lunge. So I assume it doesn't know how to go on the circle. And, you know, we start really slowly there.
Right. Start from the basics.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've experienced a lot of thoroughbreds coming to you, and specifically OTTBs. Have you noticed like a similar mental or emotional pattern in the ones that you've come across, or have they all been kind of different in their own horse?
Yeah, it's hard to say if there's a pattern, because I found there to be a huge variety. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like right now I have 3 thoroughbreds in training, and they literally couldn't be more different. Like their body types, their mental states, they've all been off the track different lengths of time, but like the quietest one apparently was that quiet right away. So it really can vary. I do find that like physically there are like commonalities in all sorts of breeds. So from the point of view of a dressage trainer, you know, thoroughbreds certainly have like physical predispositions that might cause them to have like certain emotional regulation challenges because they're not great at relaxation right away. You know, their backs tend to be a little bit tight. Mm-hmm. But certainly not all of them. So yeah, I found there to be a huge variety.
That's such an interesting way of looking at it, though, is like, oh, they're not high strung because they're high strung, right? It might be because there's a physical tie. For some reason, that has never clicked in my head, even though, like, I know about A and I know about B, and I've never put them together like that. That's a really interesting idea.
Yeah, that I think it's a big part of my system, you know, because it's, for me, communication is the first thing that I establish to like to deal with any challenge. And a lot of times there's like a physical challenge that's making it difficult for the horse to understand what I'm saying. Yeah. And often like that physical challenge is then frustrating to the horse, or it causes them to lose motivation, or, you know, whatever it is. It also could be like physical pain. So I find a lot of times like high strung behavior or unpredictable behavior is either a physical in response, just like a physical challenge, or a communication issue. It's rarely the horse just like being excited to be excited. I don't know that I've ever encountered that specifically.
Well, and like you mentioned, like tight muscles, right? Because like I will immediately veer right off the highway and be like, this horse is lame, it needs to go for a full workup, like, oh my god, he's spooked at something. And that's probably not it either, right? Like, you want to be like, okay, like, oh, let's keep it on the road, you know, and kind of calm down here. Totally. But you know, you mentioned like, oh, it's because he's tight, not because he's hurting necessarily.
Exactly. But, yeah, they can look really weird when they're tight.
Okay. So that's All right. I have my takeaway message from the conversation. So I'm good. Yeah. I need to be like, no, he's okay. He's just something's tight. So
totally. Well, and their whole bodies are, you know, interconnected. So if their backs are tight, they're not breathing, and their nervous system is just ratcheting up. So it's it's the first thing that any horse will do when they spook, stick their neck up, back gets really short and tight. And then it's like, now we're in an adrenaline posture. So
So I mean, how do you kind of like look, how do you help other people look past that? Right? Like, 'cause I think like this is where thoroughbreds kind of get this reputation. But a lot of times it is because they come off of the track in that posture and in that way of carrying themselves. Totally. Like my back hurts right now because of the way that I sit at this desk all day long.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So like, how do you help clients kind of look past that and, you know, sort of see the future in a horse?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think something I hear a lot from clients I meet who have thoroughbreds is that their horse like doesn't like dressage, which is often like not the case. You know, the horse just doesn't understand how to use its body, because really dressage at a basic level is just like good horsemanship with correct training to help the horse feel good in its body. And so I think that often if we just make the horse a little bit better at some of those basic things, they start very quickly to feel that they can make progress. And so it's you know, like, this is just this horse's specific challenges. It's not that the horse cannot do it. But it is true, like, you know, with any horse, progress is up and down and can be sometimes more challenging than other times. So I think that, you know, with my thoroughbred riders specifically, a lot of them have to realize that they can achieve relaxation, but there's also other challenges they have that are very similar with riders of like all sorts of different breeds. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, when they see progress, it makes everybody feel a little better, I think.
Well, definitely. And it is empowering too, to hear like, you know, you can change most things, which then, you know, is also then a little overwhelming when you're looking for prospects. So is there something that you look for specifically in a prospect? Because otherwise, like with that mentality, I'll be like, yeah, I'll just get the first thing that catches my eye. Right. It's
like, well, and it is a little bit, I think I have that mentality because I always just sort of rode what I had, which is why so many of my FEI horses are not warm bloods. So yeah, so it's true. Like, I don't think any situation is really hopeless unless the horse has been having like a physical medical issue. But I think that when I look for a prospect, you know, you can set yourself up for things to be easier. So I always prioritize the canter. So the horse needs to have, you know, a pure rhythm in the canter. And for me, really all the gates need to be pure, but they don't need to be fancy. So I just look for good, solid 3-beat rhythm in the canter, a clear 2-beat rhythm in the trot, and an ability to walk in a 4-beat rhythm, and also like maybe I can see an ability to relax in all the gates. And if I can't, I at least see like some desire for elasticity and suppleness, because some thoroughbreds have that. And for some, it's much harder. And then, of course, like just a horse that seems to me like I'm rolling the dice as well as I can as far as potential soundness, you know, good feet, good legs, more bone, I tend to like.
That's why I couldn't ask you this question. Because everybody knows that I bought Finn just because she was cute. And
I mean, it worked out for you. But yeah, I would have said you're rolling the dice, and you know, it's not a great bet.
Right. So now we've learned the lesson. But yeah, it's important to check on those things, isn't it?
It is. It's good to know if one of their feet is sideways.
That's right.
If you want to absolutely set yourself up for success, sure. But then where would all the content come from?
That's right.
It's like our podcast.
It's all about the content, really.
Right. So, Catherine, you touched on this. You've taken a lot of like non-warm blood breeds, you said, up to the FEI level, which I love, obviously, as a thoroughbred person. But like, what breeds have you worked with?
A lot, I think. Let me see.
Okay, what breeds haven't you worked with?
That is actually like kind of a hard question, I think, because there's like a lot of eclectic horses in my area. So between like paid training and the things I bought on my own. Yeah, it's like even horses that are usually gated. I've worked with a couple like Icelandic horses and Pasifinos and like walking horses. So it's literally everything. I think the FEI horses I've trained have been the first Grand Prix horse I trained with a quarter horse. And then we have an Arabian saddlebred. We have Connemara. We have some Spanish horses, some thoroughbred crosses. So I think most commonly for me is thoroughbred, Arabian, and quarter horse, because of course there's a lot of that everywhere.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I mean, those all are breeds that can race. Like, you haven't necessarily taken an off-track quarter horse, but it is interesting that what is considered the unconventional breed, right, for a lot of things is also a racing breed has, you know, a racing branch of some sort.
That's a good point. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but it sounds really interesting, right? Like,
yeah,
we don't race warm bloods. I mean, we don't race draft horses either. So.
That would be quite, it would take a while to get around the track.
Right.
I do think that I found a commonality to be in the horses that I have like succeeded in training up the levels versus the ones that were happier doing something else. Most of the ones that went all the way were bred for a sport. It just wasn't dressage. So like our Arabian saddlebred was bred for park pleasure. The quarter horse was bred for cutting. So,
wow. Okay.
Yeah. You know, the Lusitan is from bullfighting lines. The horse is athletic in some capability because, you know, somebody trained it or bred it for something.
Right.
I was telling Kristen, I've had the pleasure of taking some lessons on Blue, the quarter horse, and Turbo, the Spanish horse lately. And I'd like to say, I do think Blue could probably race. That'd be a good.
Blue is pretty fast.
Career. Yeah.
But again, he was bred for cutting. So like, he's quick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quick boy.
He's a little too quick. He doesn't quite have the stamina, though. You know, he would need to race the quarter mile. So.
That's fair.
So actually, now I'm really curious about this, because I have ridden some cutters. I had a cutter mare that failed out of being a cutter, so we tried to turn her into a reined cow horse before there was a lot of reined cow horse specific breeding. You know, that sport was just starting to catch on. And what we found was that to get her to look at a cow, I had to lope her for about 45 minutes. Just loping, which is pretty common in those cutters. They're bred like they're like border collies of quarter horses.
Work.
So do you find for that cutting bred horse, you know, your approach is very groundwork centric and communication centric. So maybe you sort of fixed that problem early, but do you find that horse has like a surprising level of stamina?
Well, I think Blue is very unique horse. He was really challenging for me to train, so I really like credit him with teaching me to be as capable as I am now. When I got Blue, I had no idea cutting horses weren't the same as like a backyard quarter horse like kids ride. So I was in for a real wake up at that time. He promptly unloaded me multiple times.
Oh geez.
And he absolutely doesn't really seem like he gets tired of work. He will compensate for getting tired by getting like more and more full of adrenaline. So actually for him, like loping him for 45 minutes would probably make it so that there's no way you could look at the cow. So I suppose maybe he does have more like physical endurance, but I think mental endurance, no. But he also hasn't ever been like a mentally easy horse.
And that's interesting. And that's like, you know, you hear that about like a lot of the great ones are not easy horses, right? Like,
yeah.
And that's, there's probably a metaphor here that I'm dancing around, not quite landing on, but yeah, it is interesting. Of like what drives, you know, elite athletes, yeah. No matter if they were bred for that or not.
I know,
you
know? Right? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they always say like, if they can be an FEI horse, there's like fire in them. So Blue is definitely full of fire. He's an inferno.
I love that. I'm going to have to, you guys are going to have to send me some videos of him. I'm very curious. Is he also very downhill? Because the modern cutter now is so downhill.
Yeah, so he's not Yeah. I'm so lucky that he's not. The person who bred him actually like didn't really like to breed downhill horses. So that was just luck of the draw. Yeah. But that would be a big challenge for sure. I mean, I've worked with a number of clients with quarter horses that are downhill. And again, it's like you can help a lot, but it's still going to be one of your big challenges.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, confirmation does in fact matter to a certain point. Yeah.
Yeah. It will make your journey easier if it's helpful.
I love that. All right. Well, this is our first episode of the new year. So we're very forward-minded today. Do you have any goals for 2026 that you're working towards?
Yeah, well, I always have lots of goals, so sure.
All right, pick your favorite. You're like moonshot, like top of the list, like if everything goes to plan. I say this not having one myself, so don't worry.
You know, I feel like that just made it harder because now I have to prioritize them. I have like some I have some personal competition goals with a horse that I am competing now at FEI, so that's really like my biggest focus. We're trying to teach him the work for Inter 2 and Grand Prix, so that's going to be a big year of learning for him, hopefully.
Ooh, exciting. Cool. Well, we will be cheering you on.
Thank you.
I will be cheering you on from my couch because I think we will not be competing again this year. We'll be taking another year off, but that's all right.
And with any luck, I'll be there.
Yeah, Lee can give us a front row seat and keep us updated and see how it goes.
Yes.
Catherine, do you have a website or social media or anywhere where folks can follow you and learn more about your program?
Yeah, so I have Instagram is where I'm the most active, which is just my name, at Catherine Abrams. And then I have a business website, which is harmonyhills.com, which is my farm name.
Love it. All right. Well, everybody give Catherine a follow. We can cheer you on in 2026 and beyond. And we're excited to see what happens next.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
It's a bright new year and applications are now open for the 2026 Thoroughbred Makeover. If this is going to be your year, then it is time to head over to therrp.org and get logged in to start your application process now. We cannot wait to cheer you on.
You can enjoy your favorite equine videos all in one place with Ride TV, the ultimate equine streaming platform. The newly relaunched Ride TV has all the series you love, like Rockstar Vets and Mini Horses, plus top-tier training videos and event footage from BarrelRacing.com and Horse and Rider On Demand. Whether you're ready to relax with your favorite series, binge-watch competition footage, or train with a world champion, subscribe to Ride TV today for only $19.99 to see where your ride takes you. Visit RideTVGo.tv to subscribe.
Well, we are back for the new year with our favorite bother, because you do thoroughbreds and standardbreds, Bridget. Welcome back to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Thanks for having me again.
We got to come up with a better word than bother. But
yeah, I'll have to think on that.
Yeah, especially because it's going to be spelled like bother. So that clearly doesn't work.
I am your favorite bother. It's okay.
You are my favorite bother. Bridget, you are here today with your standardbred hat on. And I am curious because I think, you know, the standardbreds, they have this reputation, right, for being like generally pretty easygoing. And I will say, like, first one in line with my hand up to be like, I think I kind of took advantage of that when I got my standardbred. I was like, he's easygoing. Like, this horse came from the Amish, like this one in particular. Most of them don't. You know, and I got right on him bareback in a halter and I took him out on a trail ride, which in retrospect was like super unfair to the horse. So I am now going to do my best for my next standard bred to kind of atone for early mistakes. Wes was very, very tolerant, but I do think, you know, because these horses are kind of easygoing, like, I think we assume like they're ready to go and jump right in and do new things. So like, what is a realistic kind of timeline to expect for a standard bred when you've just brought your new standard bred home from new vocations because you got it for Christmas? Like, what does that first month look like, or the first few months, or maybe even like the first year?
Yeah. So, you know, you're right. Standard breds are so agreeable and they're so willing to just, you know, put up with whatever we ask of them that we oftentimes forget that these horses were bred and built and trained to drive and to drive quickly. And even though they are usually like, oh, this is what you're asking me? Okay. I think we get in this trap of thinking, well, because they are willing to try it, they can just go right into doing these things. And as you start to retrain your standard bred, remembering, you know, what they've been doing, it is going to be important for how to get them where you want them to go. And so, you know, it's important to let them have their letdown time, both mentally and physically from the track, because the musculature that they're using to pace or trot at top speed with their sulky is going to be very different than the muscle you want to build for them to be your dressage horse or your hunter or your trail partner or whatever the case may be. And so you might get, you know, a little bit of that fancy trot to start with and think, oh, I'm doing just great. And then all of a sudden you can't ride a 20 meter circle at a trot without your horse falling into the pace. Well, again, it's relearning cues. It's rebuilding its body. It's rebalancing itself. And it's going to take some time. And so you'll get these highs and lows as your horse redevelops into the riding horse partner that you want it to be. And so giving them a little grace and give yourself a little grace too as you navigate this process is going to be really important for them as they develop what you want them to for your riding careers.
Yeah, like I think like sometimes I jokingly call them like, oh, the thinking man's thoroughbred, you know, because like it's just as rewarding to bring them along, but you do have to think outside the box a little bit. But at the same time, to me, they feel like maybe a little like, I don't want to say safer, but like more forgiving.
Yeah.
Maybe a little safer. Jobber spends a lot of time on his hind legs, like punching the sky. So it's kind of nice that like Wes doesn't do that. So like in that regard, like, yeah, maybe a little bit safer, but, you know, also has its own set of challenges. So yeah, I do think sometimes that breed, you know, and we might be guilty of the same thing a little bit sometimes too, is, you know, doing them a disservice by being like, they're so easygoing, they're for everybody. But in reality, they are a challenge of their own. But yeah, a very rewarding one.
I think their shutdown is a little different than what we come to expect with thoroughbreds or other riding horses. You know, I think that a standardbred shutdown is going to show up differently, maybe in less explosive behavior, but more reluctance to move forward or, you know, only wanting to pace versus, you know, bucking or bolting or going up in the air. You know, you don't see that as much, but you do get this like stop and just no.
Yeah, there is a very firm like rooting to the ground.
Yes,
and you never get the vibe that it's going to blow up, but you get the vibe that he's like, there's no force on earth. Like, no, yeah. I'm not doing it. That's how I got dismissed out of the trail ring once. He's like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
I will say in his defense, it's because the previous night we had done trail schooling and a storm blew through and all the trail obstacles blew at him. And he was a very good boy for that, but he was like, no, thank you, the next morning. So, you know.
I can't say I blame him. That is a little bit terrifying.
Right. That was a lot. But had it been Jobber, we would have all died. So, you know. All right. Well, speaking of great standardbreds, if anybody is ready to embark on this satisfying journey in 2026, tell us about our first adoptable horse of the year. I'm so excited.
Ooh. Oh, well, we're going to ring in the year with a redhead then.
Oh, heck yeah. My favorite.
Yes.
And rare in standardbreds.
Yeah. Yeah. I love when I get the redheads because you don't see them very often. But a Royal Line is a lovely trotting bred gelding who, you know, is a warhorse, did all of the good things on the track, and then his donors retired him here to new vocations, and he started under saddle. And, you know, he very much, again, is figuring out how to move himself around with a rider versus the way that he would trot with his sulky. But he is going to be a very fancy partner for somebody. He's just stunning to look at. And no one's going to believe you when you tell them he's a standardbred because he's red.
I love this. So when at the time of recording, like, he's so new to you guys that we don't have photos yet. So, like, you're really building the hype now. I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, there's a chestnut standardbred. I really want it. And I haven't seen it yet. So
yeah, and he's excited. Big. He's big and red. He's 16'1" and just fancy. And if people follow our page, there's a sneak peek of him the day that he arrived. He's turned out in a pasture, kind of cutting loose a little bit. So that was, some people might have seen his name mentioned, even though he wasn't posted before.
Oh, that, I did catch that. Yeah, that fancy horse trotting around. Okay, good.
Yes.
So, Bridget, how do you define a war horse by standardbreds?
So, usually over 100 races in a standardbred is going to be a war horse.
You said that so casually.
I know, and everybody's like, what? And, you know, it startled me at first when I first started working with the standardbreds after the thoroughbreds. I'm like, what do you mean this horse has 236 starts? And that is not even close to the most that I have ever come across. A Royal Lion had 178 starts, which is, you know, a lot, but again, nowhere close to the most that I've ever had. I think the most I have ever had come through my farm was a gorgeous gelding who had 420 starts and the cleanest legs you've ever seen.
Ugh, bless.
Wow. He was very cool.
Love him. All right, Bridget, well, where can folks go if they are interested in looking into a Royal Lion or any of the other fabulous standardbreds that you have up for adoption?
You can find us at horseadoption.com or newvocations.org, as well as on Facebook and Instagram, and I think TikTok now.
Oh, you guys are on TikTok. You're very hip.
We're super cool. We're the cool kids now.
I love it. Love it. Well, Bridget, thanks very much for kicking off our new year with a great adoptable redhead standardbred. Beat the talk of the town, folks. Go get the horse. Yes.
Thank you, guys.
You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram at hotgirlsummer.ottb, and that is girl with a U. And my email address is rbeamer95@gmail.com.
You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Rider, and my email is kristen@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and Ride TV. And to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe.
Always embrace your chestnut mare
and cowside leg.